Well, glory, hallelujah. Well, there's some unction in prayer there, glory to God. You know, we can pray the same things, but sometimes we can have unction in prayer and just go on with what God said. I could have kept going, praise the Lord. Maybe I should. Someday, maybe I will, hallelujah. Glory. Well, did you come to church today?
Yes.
I know you did because you're here. I can see you. So I'm glad you didn't make me come out and get you, praise the Lord. I'm glad that you came willingly because it's a lot better to come willingly than to come dragged in, kicking and screaming, praise the Lord. Ain't nobody likes to be dragged in, kicking and screaming, but I remember a day when I was dragged in, kicking and screaming. Well, I wasn't kicking and screaming in the natural, but in my head I was kicking and screaming, praise the Lord. I didn't want to come back to that. I certainly, if I had been told if I had known when I came to Family Church what kind of church Family Church was, I wouldn't have come back to Family Church. I wouldn't have stepped in there in the first place because I had had enough of that kind of stuff. Why? Because I was in the world and I had saw a whole lot of goofy, kind of flaky, for the fruity, flaky nut, you know, the granola Christians, praise the Lord, the fruity, flaky nut ones, praise the Lord. I'd been parts of all that, and I didn't want anything to do with the talking in tongues and the healing stuff and all that other stuff we get into, all the good stuff, praise the Lord. All the stuff that nourishes you, praise the Lord, sets you free, gets you going, amen. Wakes you up in the morning and keeps you alive, praise the Lord. Because without God's Spirit, we wouldn't know what to do, would we? Without God's Spirit, we wouldn't have licking and we wouldn't have Testimony Sunday. Without God's Spirit, we would just have another Sunday where we get together and just talk. Praise the Lord. But we don't have Sundays where we just get together and talk. We have testimonies. Why? Because God is good. He's doing things here. He's doing things wherever people are hungry. And because you're hungry, He's going to do more in you. Amen? Praise the Lord. God ain't through with you yet. If you came in here today thinking, well, maybe God's through with me, I'm just here to tell you God ain't. I've checked with the Father before He and He told me that He isn't done with you. Amen? He's got a plan for you. That plan, Jeremiah 29:11, doesn't matter if you've been stupid. That plan don't change. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, when I was saved when I was younger, but that didn't mean I walked out that salvation. You know, salvation is about walking out. Of course, we're going to talk about some of that today. But salvation is walking the plan out, praise the Lord. But just because I started getting dumb, God didn't change His plan for me. He just had to figure out other ways to get it to me, praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. And thank God that He had more ways to get His plan to me than I had ways to screw it up. Amen. Praise the Lord. And He worked in me. And finally, by the time I was about 28, I heard I had had enough of this world. And I wanted more of God. And I decided to get it. And praise God, I haven't turned back since. Amen. Because God is good. I am now 41. Praise the Lord. I made it all the way to 41. The devil tried to tell me he was going to take me out when I was 35. It didn't happen. I said it didn't happen. Praise the Lord. I remember when I said to my pastor one day, because I was real afraid of this. I was approaching 35, and I said, you know, I had this Ouija board tell me once that they were going to die when I was 35. And I'm like, I can't help it, but the fear keeps coming up against me, because you know you're approaching 30, and they told me I was going to die by falling off a roof. Well, wouldn't you know, when I was 35 years old, I found myself on a roof. Don't you think that thought came through my mind? Of course it came through my mind, but guess what? Praise the Lord, I had the word, and I had the word my pastor shared with me. He said, well, the Bible says, with long life I shall satisfy you and show you my salvation. Praise the Lord. And long life isn't 35 years old, is it? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And you're all happy? Because if it happened 35, that was far before we started this church, we wouldn't be here today. Amen? Because, well, we might have been here with somebody else, but not somebody near as good looking as I am. So praise God for it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The devil didn't win. God did. And God always wins. And as long as we're in God, we always win. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, today we're talking, you know, I got so much into that message last week that I couldn't finish it. And so I decided I was going to finish it this week. Well, I checked with God. He said it was okay. Praise the Lord. Jesus, He thought it was okay. Holy Spirit, He was down with it too. So we're just going to go on with finishing what we got into last week. You know, we were stepping into some real good stuff last week. And today we're going to smell it even further. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, today we're talking about Led by the Spirit, Part 2. Hallelujah. The Law of Associations. Hallelujah. This is so important. You know, associations is such an important part of our Christian walk. And it's not just talking about our associations in the world. Of course, I am going to be talking about that. But I'm also talking about our associations with the Lord. Because all those associations will affect one another. You know, see, that's the thing. There's the thing with God, the kingdom of God, it's like a system of checks and balances. It's like if you have a lot on one side, you're going to have less on the other. And if you have a lot on the other side, then you have less on the one side, you know. So that's the way it is with God. If the more of God we have, the less of the world we're going to have. But the more of the world we have, the less chaos of God we're going to have. That's just a part of the way it works. Amen. You can't change that. The only thing you can do is operate within it. Amen. Now, God does operate according to his laws, the laws he set in motion. Amen. I doubt very highly that God's going to change gravity. Yeah. Praise the Lord. And aren't you glad? Yeah. Amen. You would have wished we made the ceiling padded if that was the case. But God isn't going to change certain laws just because we want them to change. You know, if you fall out of an airplane, you can pray all you want, but, you know, in that 30 seconds that you're falling, I doubt very highly that the gravity is going to stop working. Amen. If you jump off a building, the gravity is going to continue working. It's going to continue bringing you to the ground. And you can have the greatest faith in the world, but if you jump, you're going to hit the ground. Amen. So see, the laws of God still are in motion. Now, there are times where God does suspend through supernatural circumstances. He will suspend natural laws. Amen. But we see that's more of the exception and not the rule. That happens generally when God really has to get something across. Like when Jesus, for example, was here, he was able to make a virgin pregnant. Praise God. Hallelujah. Yes, she was a virgin and she was pregnant. Amen. She got impregnated by the Holy Ghost. And what some weird people talk, it wasn't God having sex with Virgin Mary. It was through the process of divine intervention. Amen. It was a spiritual thing. Amen. And so that's how it happened. But see, that was a time when God needed something to happen. And so he suspended natural laws for it to happen. But by and large, we are going to live according to natural laws. Amen. If you don't eat, you're going to starve. If you don't drink, you're going to get thirsty and you're going to wither up and dry. Amen. If you don't sleep, you're going to get tired and you're eventually going to pass out. There's these things that are just going to happen. You can't work against the natural laws. And one of these laws is laws of association. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Amen. If you plant a garden, if you don't weed it, you're not going to have a garden for very long because the thorns and the thistles are going to rise up. They're going to grow up and they'll grow up faster and they'll choke out the good things that you have. And so we need to know that God is the same way. In this world, if we are being raised up around thorns and thistles, if we are living amongst the thorns and thistles, we are going to have that thorns and thistles produce. And it's not good. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. The law of associations. I am blessed because I focus on God. Praise the Lord. I don't always, I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm not saying that I do things without I just do everything exactly the way God wanted me to do them. But because I focus, because I bring my attention back unto the Lord, he blesses me. He blesses me. See, this is what's great. This is what grace is. Grace is in your imperfection, he will bless you anyways if your heart is towards him. See, because God wants us to be blessed. See, that's his goal for us is to be blessed. He speaks to me daily because I direct my thoughts on him. As I seek the Lord, as I speak to him, as I put my thoughts on him, the Lord shows me things. Why? Because his word says that's exactly what he would do. Praise the Lord. See, God, one of the most blessed things about being a Christian is the ability to be led. The ability to be led. Be led according to the word. And we have to understand this. I said this before. That if your understanding of the word is wrong, so will your leading. In order to be led right, you have to have a proper understanding of the word. See, you can't take things out of context and say, well, I'm going to go with this and say that that's the way it is. You know, and that was something the Lord showed me last week that really excited me. That statement that if our understanding of the word is wrong, our leading will also be wrong. You remember me saying that? Praise the Lord. See, God is trying to teach us something by that. That's why you can have so many churches that are good churches. The people are good-hearted people, but their understanding of the word is wrong, and so they do things that aren't quite right. It isn't because God isn't moving, and God will move in churches like that, but our effectiveness of God working in our lives has everything to do with what we know about him. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, let's start. No, we're just going to pull this up here, Amos 3:3, because it'll take you longer to turn to it than it will for me just to read it. We'll just take the note down. Amos 3:3, what does the Bible say? It says, can two walk together unless they are agreed? Well, the answer to this is no. Hallelujah. Two people can't walk together unless they agree. The same thing with the Holy Spirit. If you want to be led by God, he can't walk with you unless you agree. The Holy Spirit, God is not working against his laws. He will never work against his laws. If you do not agree with the Lord, if you do not receive his spirit, if you do not receive his direction, he can't walk with you. He ain't going on with you. Why? But this is where so many Christians get off, is they instead of walking with the Lord, they walk with their desires. They walk with their own wants. They walk with the things that they see. They walk in the direction that they want to go. They walk in the direction that they were taught. They walk by things that they know naturally, and they don't walk according to the Spirit. But see, the Bible says, can two walk together unless they're agreed? Absolutely not. The same thing goes in this life. You cannot walk. You cannot be with somebody. You cannot spend time with somebody unless you agree with them. If you're around them, then you, in a sense, you are saying. Now, there's a difference in agreement. There's, you know, Jesus was around a lot of people that weren't necessarily good people. But see, Jesus didn't fellowship. He didn't spend all his personal time with those people. He ministered to those people, and that was good. But you understand that he didn't spend all his time with them. Why? Because if he had, he would have been walking together in agreement with them and that those things that they were doing, and that's not right. We can't live according to the world and expect the things of God, but in order to be led by God, we have to flow with His Spirit and where He's taken us. Amen? Yes. Praise the Lord. Can two walk together unless they are agreed? The answer is no, they can't. They have to agree if they're going down the same path, praise the Lord, then they're going to. My wife and I, the only reason our marriage works is because we agree. I said the only reason it works is because we're not so special that we got some magical pill or we got some magical blessing that God gave us, that we have a better relationship than anybody else. We haven't been so extraordinarily blessed above all humanity, praise the Lord. Now we feel that we are blessed because we love each other. We happen to like to be able to agree with each other. Agreement is good, is it not? Amen. Agreement in a marriage relationship is wonderful. Praise the Lord. I love agreement in marriage. I've done it without agreement, and marriage without agreement is not fun, but marriage with agreement is exceedingly fun. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I said it's exceedingly fun. Yeah, read between the lines. Marriage with agreement is good, good, good. Praise the Lord. But see, when there's not agreement, it's not any fun. And see, we're not extraordinarily blessed because we agree on the word. We agree on God. We agree on walking together, and therefore we walk into everything that God has for us. See, I see so many couples, and I'm just like, man, don't they wish they had what I had? Yeah, absolutely. I love my wife. My wife loves me. We work to be each other's best friend. We work to be each other's fulfillment, all in all, as far as what our natural, you know, human laws are concerned. We know that we can't be each other's complete fulfillment. God has to be that. But you know what I'm saying. Praise the Lord. But that's why we have a good marriage, because we agree and we walk together. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians 6:11. Now, some of the stuff you might say, well, I don't understand necessarily how this is about being led by the Spirit. Well, see, because you have to understand, the more that we take on of the world, the less we're going to take on of God. Yeah. And so the more we fill ourselves with the things of the world, the less we're going to have of God. Plain and simple. That's why Jesus said, don't focus on worldly things, focus on spiritual things. I will add the worldly things that you desire, that you want, that bless you, all that stuff. I will bring that into your, but don't focus on that. And that's why he said that, because as you don't focus on that, you focus on spiritual things, then you have a spiritual life. And then all those things, he adds them to you, and there's no sorrow attached, right? Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians 6:11. O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. Wow, that's such a good verse. You are not restricted by us. You're spiritual leaders. You're not restricted by us. You're not restricted by coming to this church and by listening to the word that we preach. You're not restricted by any of that. You're restricted by your own affections. What does that mean? It means that whatever you desire, whatever you're going to place importance on, that's either what restricts you or carries you forward. Amen. If you want the leading of God, but you were only going to sow to the flesh, then you will only have the things the flesh will give you. You will never have the leading of God. You're restricted by your own affections, whatever is most important to you. See, there's so many people that will not listen to God. They will listen to solely their desires, and they wonder why they don't have the leading of God. They wonder why God's not speaking to them, why God's not showing them things to come. See, being led by God is a wonderful, wonderful thing. It's maybe one of the greatest things of salvation. I mean, I'm telling you right now, I lived a life where there was no leading and everything I did was wrong. And every time I came up against the wall, I was like, why is this happening to me? I didn't realize that I was working by laws that were in effect. I just didn't know about them. And see, we can't work aside from the work of the laws that God has set in motion, even if we don't know them, just because you don't know them. Hey, you might not know that wall's hard, but I guarantee you run against it, you're going to find out. Amen. I'm telling you right now, you might think you can stop a bus coming down the road at 50 miles an hour, but you stand in front of it and you're going to find out. Praise the Lord. See, the laws will work whether you want them to work or not. Praise the Lord. That's the way it works. Amen. You are not restricted by us. You are restricted by your own affections. Praise the Lord. Now, in return for the same, I speak to you, speak as to children, you also be open. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? You know, I love this. I love this example because, you know, if you've ever seen oxen yoked together, we have oxen yokes, and I've seen them. I've never spent too much time around yoked oxen. Praise the Lord. You don't see many of them in Jamestown. You don't see a lot of them in Mayville, actually. But, you know, I haven't spent a lot of time around, but I've seen the yokes, and I understand the principle. They put this big, heavy yoke on these two animals, and they have these huge, like, wooden sticks going, you know, bent around their neck that locks them together. They ain't going nowhere. They ain't breaking apart. Where one goes, the other one's got to go by default. If they both decide they're going different ways, well, the stronger one's going to win. But you understand, they're going to stay pretty much together. And it's going to be a fight, even if they want to go in different ways, it's going to be a fight. You know, and so we get this understanding about what it means when it says do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. I'm going to tell you this. I've expanded this verse because I believe that I'm fully, according to Scripture, I can rightfully do this. But unbelievers isn't just people who don't believe in God, but it's people who don't believe as you believe. Why? Because it says unbelievers. Well, if I believe in healing and you don't, you're an unbeliever. I said, if I believe in healing and you don't, you're an unbeliever. If I believe in prosperity and you don't, you're an unbeliever. Praise the Lord. If you believe in something and I don't, I'm an unbeliever. Hallelujah. Why? That's just the way that it is. That's what an unbeliever, it says unbelievers. It doesn't say unbelievers, people who don't believe in Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. It doesn't say anything about that. It says unbelievers. Amen. There's a reason that you can go to one church and you can get fed the word and you can walk out and you can be full and your life can change and go to another church and not have anything happen. Why? Because they're unbelievers. Yeah, there's churches. In fact, there's churches all across America, all across this country. There's churches that are full of unbelievers. Yeah. How do I know? I talk to them all the time. I say something in the word. They say, oh, wait. So this is what the word says. You can see it right there, right? You can read it there. You can see what the word says, and yet you're saying that it's not true. That means you're an unbeliever in the word. See, we need to be believers in the word, and we need to be equally yoked together with believers. Now, that doesn't mean that we're going to spend our lives never having an effect on unbelievers. Of course, we are, and we should. We've said this many times before. Christians are like manure, right? You pile them up in one pile, all they do is stink. You spread them out, they do a lot of good, amen? And that's exactly what we need to, be spread out and doing things. But you understand that there's laws in the associations that when we're unequally yoked together with unbelievers, it works against us. Why? Well, there's another principle in the word. It's called faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. Well, faith comes by hearing, and so whatever you're hearing is what you're going to have faith in. If you're hearing doubt and unbelief all the time, then what you're going to take home with you is doubt and unbelief. What's going to rise up on the inside of you is doubt and unbelief. Praise the Lord. That's why I can pastor today, because I came in as an unbeliever, but as the word was put into me, as my pastor preached the word to me and sowed the word into me and sometimes beat the word into me, whatever he had to do, glory to God. When these things happened, my life changed because it was sown into me. I was hearing it. And I'll tell you, if you ever notice, if you haven't been in church for just even a week sometimes, you feel like, wow, just something feels different. It's because you're not hearing the word. And see, it's important to keep being fed the word. Amen. And eventually you get to a point, and I got to this point. I got to the point where I walked so far away that I didn't even want to hear the word. Anybody mentioned church to me, and I thought, man, I don't want anything to do with that stuff. Yeah, a Christian saying that. I said, a Christian saying that. That's where I was living. When I met my wife, I was a believer in God. But that was about it. I believed in the Bible. I didn't know half of what the Bible said, but I believed. I'd say I believed in the Bible, but I wouldn't do the things that the Bible said. And see, this is exactly the way it is. We have to understand, when we're unequally yoked together with unbelievers, we're having fellowship with unrighteousness, and then the Lord can't lead us right. Why? Because when we're fellowshipping with unrighteousness, God, we're not making room, we're not leaving that room for the Holy Spirit to come in. Now, if you've ever had a good conversation with a born-again, Spirit-filled believer, and you're 1-2, and you get together, and you have a good conversation, and you leave it, and you're refreshed. Feel like you could run a marathon, and you get up, and you're like, woo, glory to God, this is fun. Glory, I want to do that more often. We need to get together more often, brother or sister. We gotta do this. We got to have fellowship again, amen? Why do you feel that way? Because that's what the Spirit is doing on the inside of you. But that's why you can also slip into darkness if you don't, if you're having communion with it. Praise the Lord. You want to have communion with light, not darkness. Amen? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Listen, if you as a Christian realize that you are the temple of the living God, that he lives inside you, he walks inside you, you're going to walk, talk, and do things a little bit differently. Yeah. If you realize that God is on the inside of you working, that you're his temple, praise the Lord. If you knew, Jesus sent us a letter in the mail. We got a letter in the mail, praise the Lord, came certified mail. We had to sign for it and everything, right? Because it's an important letter when Jesus sends you a letter. You ever got a letter from Jesus? Praise the Lord. Well, you got a few letters from Jesus. Praise the Lord. But you got a letter from Jesus. They sent it, and you got a sign for it and all that stuff. And they may even send somebody special to deliver it. But they send it special. They knock on your door. They say, here's your letter from Jesus. Praise the Lord. And Jesus says, hey, 2 weeks from now, I'm going to be in the church. Guess what's going to happen in the next 2 weeks? There ain't going to be much resting around here. Hallelujah. We're going to be making sure things are tip-top. We're going to go find all those little cobwebs that maybe got missed when we were vacuuming the floor or whatever. And we're going to get that dust or that piece of molding that was coming off or whatever. You understand, when Jesus is present, you clean things up a little bit more. When somebody, if the president said, hey, I'm coming, praise the Lord, you'd think a little bit differently. Praise the Lord. You would do things a little bit differently. Because why? Because there's somebody important. Well, the same thing. We live with Jesus on the inside of us. And we need to realize that. We need to recognize that. That'll keep us living right. Amen? What keeps me living right? Knowledge of Jesus on the inside of me. You think I always want to live right? Oh, heck no, I don't always want to live right. I'm telling you right now, I don't always want to live right. There's sometimes I want to just do what I always did. There's times when I want to go back to partying. The flesh, you know what I'm saying? I ain't gonna do it. But there's times when I want to look at something I shouldn't look at. There's something times when I want to partake in things that I shouldn't partake in. What keeps me living right? The fact that I know that God's on the inside of me. Glory to God. I ain't gonna stop living right because I know God is there. He's watching me. Praise the Lord. It makes you know, those things that you do in darkness. You know, the Bible says everything done in darkness will come to light. But, you know, those things you do in darkness, those things you do behind closed doors, you remember something. There is somebody who knows. Yeah. So you think you're hiding, but there's something. But see, now we're all about, today in this society, we're all about, like, just flaunt it all and show everybody everything, praise the Lord. And that isn't the desire of God either. Right. Well, glory to God. What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them. What does it say? Come out from among them. It says, therefore, because of all that, because you are the temple of the living God, because God lives on the inside of you, because you're a walking, talking carrier of God in the flesh. Hallelujah. Because you are a walking, talking carrier of God. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean, and then I will receive you. But if you're going to touch what is unclean, I'm not going to receive you. That means you're not going to be led by my Spirit. You're not going to have the things I'm downloading. You're not going to know what I'm talking about. See, if you won't live the way God wants you to live, if you can't receive, but see, it matters. Hallelujah. It matters. If we won't do what God wants us to do, then we're not going to have what God wants us to have. This is why Christians go without, because most Christians are the worst at living the way God wants them to live. I know unbelievers that will go out there and will be better people than a lot of Christians will be. I hate it when people say to me, well, you know, those Christians are backstabbers. Those Christians are cheap. Those Christians, they just always seek their own. They're always talking about other people's messes. They're always looking down on other people. These things ought not be so, but that's exactly the way it is out there. Listen, we got to be forgiving people. We got to be loving people. We got to put up with people. I said we got to put up with people. And if I just looked at you, I didn't look at you on purpose. Hallelujah. Just so you know, I was just bouncing around. Hallelujah. But we got to put up with people. We got to love on people. We got to accept people. We got to be willing to take people back when people screwed up. But at the same time, we also got to look at ourselves and be willing not to screw up. Yeah. We got to be trying, amen? Yeah. Well, this country, this society is so full of people that just tell you to just do whatever the heck you want to do. You see, that's exactly what the devil said, do whatever you want to do. Yeah. He told Adam and Eve, he said, hey, Adam, hey, Eve, listen, do whatever you want to do because God ain't going to kill you. Right, God isn't going to kill you. But sooner or later, there's going to be a reckoning day. The Bible says that sin is fun for a season. But I'm going to tell you what, at some point it bites, and I got bit a lot. Hallelujah. I said I got bit a lot. There was times I got bit so bad, and I was blaming God. Well, God, why? Why, God, why? And the whole time, the Spirit's saying, hey, just do what I tell you to do. But see, that still small voice, I can't be led by that still small voice because I'm so wrapped up in the world and the things of the world that I can't be led by God. And see, we got to be, and listen, this does not mean that you have to live some kind of hokey, goofy Christian life. I live a good life. It's a good life. It's enjoyable. I enjoy the flesh. Praise the Lord. If you can't tell, sometimes my suits get a little tighter than they ought to be. I enjoy the flesh. I love spending time with my family. My greatest joy in the world is to spend time with my family. The greatest joy in the world. There is nothing better for me than to spend time with my family, and I do that. Praise the Lord. We'll go on time. And sometimes you need to just do that stuff. Sometimes you need to just get away and enjoy a little bit. Sometimes you need to spend money on yourself a little bit. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But sometimes you need to not be focused on spending everything you got on you too. Yeah. Amen? Sometimes you need to, you know, there's balance to things, but we gotta walk out the plan that God has for us. Because as we do that, we find the blessing of God, we find the direction of God, we find everything, and God will always lead us into good things. I mean, I use this example. I don't know if I use it here or not, but I use this example. We had this truck, or I was going to buy this vehicle, this Jeep. Type vehicle. It wasn't a Jeep like a Wrangler, but it was like another kind of Jeep. And I was going to buy this, and right as we were going to take the check there, I got a check in my spirit. Now, probably if I had been more spiritual, I would have picked up on the check earlier, but I didn't, and we got the check in my spirit on the way to deliver the check. And I thought to myself, self, I can't not take this check. I can't go because I'm going to buy this truck, this one. But I had the check about doing it. I went and did it anyways. Well, 5,000 miles later, that Jeep stopped running for good. Yeah. It didn't want to run no more. It didn't work no more. The engine blew up. When the engine blows up, don't go very fast. Yeah. Amen? It didn't do with it. Guess what? The bank didn't care about that. They're like, you got an agreement with me to pay this off. And so what do we have to do? We had to still pay it off. Yeah. Why? Because that was part of the deal, you know? But see, the Spirit warned me, and I didn't listen to the Spirit. And it's, well, God helped clean it up, but it took years to do it. It took years to get through that. See, sometimes we'll create a mess for ourselves because we won't be led, because we won't listen to the Spirit of the Lord. We'll create a mess, and it'll take us years to get out. Yeah. Oh, I'm going to tell you. See, God, you know, we talked last night about the pruning process a little bit. Praise the Lord. I guess I ain't going to have a drink of that. But we talked a little bit last night about the pruning process. See, God prunes us because he's trying to get things into us. He wants us to be fruit producers. And see, we can't do that if every time we just make a mistake, God just comes in and cleans it right up. The same thing with you as parents. You know that if you just always cover for your children, well, eventually you're going to have a mess on your hands. Eventually, the kids aren't going to be able to do what they need to do because they've been so dependent on you. And see, that's the same thing with God. God, we can't be so dependent, or God has to allow us to get things cleaned up. But see, one thing is if we won't correct right or if we won't correct wrong actions, God can't get, he can't help us. And so he ain't going to bless us. I said, as long as we live with wrong actions, he ain't going to bless us. You pray to God all you want, it ain't going to do any good. I'm telling you right now, if you're terrible with your finances and you don't start correcting that, God ain't ever going to bless your finances. He may a little bit, as much as he can, a little bit here and there, but you're never going to see the fullness of God in your finances. Why? Because that's the way it works. God isn't a fool. God wants you to produce fruit. He doesn't want you to produce it. God isn't okay with halfway producers. God isn't okay with somebody who just, he wants to lead you and to bless you and to bless others. It isn't just to increase yourself, but he wants to lead us into that. But as long as you're focused on those things, see, you can't hear from God. We're talking about being led by the Spirit, amen? And see, this stuff is important because in order to be led by the Spirit, we have to understand these principles, amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. Praise the Lord. Verse 18, I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters. Who doesn't love that? You know, I came across, it wasn't this one in particular. There's another place, I think it was in Romans where he says it. But I came across this scripture one day when I was really needing I was really needing the love of a father. I was really needing that interaction. And the Lord spoke to my spirit. See, if you listen to God, he'll speak to you. See, because I had been without a father, and I was dealing with that, the pain, especially as a young man, sometimes that you feel with that. I'm not saying that young women can't feel that without a father, but I'm saying there's something that young men need to receive from their fathers, their earthly fathers. That's why we have them. That's why God made them male and female, because we have things that we need from each one of them. Amen. Glory to God. And you see, I will be a father to you. He spoke that to me and made it real to me. And see, this is what our God is he wants to speak to us. He wants to guide us and lead us. What do we equate this to? You know, if you have an earthly father and you know that if you had a good earthly father and they taught you things and they guided you down, if you didn't, well, praise the Lord, you got one now. You got a heavenly father and he'll take over. But, you know, they'll show you things. They'll guide you. You know, I with my kids all the time. I'm course correcting with them all the time. I like to bump them this way a little bit, or bump them this way. What do you think about, or you know, try this out. Or sometimes I have a young man here as a son. He's almost 20. Glory to God. Hallelujah. How's that possible? Praise the Lord. You're getting old, love. Praise the Lord. Friday. Glory. 20 years old. But you know, the thing is, with even with the 20-year-old, he's learning a lot of things. He can function as a pretty full-grown adult, right? For the most part. I mean, for the most part, right? Yeah, for the most part. He can pretty much function as an adult. There's certain things we're still trying to work into him, but glory to God. But you know, just even as there's still things that I've just gotten knowledge on for years, because I've been around a few years more than him. There's things that I've learned that he doesn't know. And so sometimes I can share that with him and impart those things to him. And maybe he thinks this is a good idea, and he'll come to me and I'll show him this, and this. And he'll like, oh, okay, I see that now. And sometimes I know as a young man, it can be frustrating because you're like, why didn't I see that? Well, you just don't have you didn't have the place to learn that at the time, but you do now, amen? But see, that's what a father does. A good father guides and helps their children into the right place. The Lord said, I'll be a father to you. You shall be my sons and my daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Isn't that pretty good? Therefore, praise the Lord. Having these promises, verse 1, in chapter 7, verse 1. Therefore, is it chapter 7? Yeah, chapter 7. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. In the context here, though, he is still talking about associations. Why? Because it's in the same set of scriptures. I know I took a little bit to get through them, but he's still talking about these associations. How do we cleanse ourselves? By who? What we do, what we surround ourselves with. Listen, if you go out there, there's water out there, right? If you go find a mucky part of the lake, and you go sit in that muck, you're going to be covered with the muck, right? Why? Because it's a mucky part of the lake. And that's what you're sitting in. It's a natural law. You sit in mud, you're going to get muddy, right? You get dirt, you're going to get dirty, right? That's all there is to it. Praise the Lord. Well, the same thing is with law of association. Whatever you're associating with, you're going to get that. So if you're associating with God, if you're being led by His Spirit, if you're following the direction of God, then you're going to have the things that produces, which is what? The blessing of the Lord. That's when God puts things into us. That's how He blesses us. See, people are sitting on the sideline. They're coming over here. They're sitting on the sideline. They're going to say, I'm going to sit here, and I'm going to confess the Word. I'm going to believe God, and I'm going to receive the blessing of the Lord. But that's not how it works. It works when we're active with God. When we're active with God, that's when He pours out His blessing. Now, there is a certain amount of blessing. We can't confuse this. And so we have to balance this out, because people always bring up, well, what about grace? Yeah, grace is real. Grace is good. We are not supposed to live solely by grace. The Bible does not say live by grace. It says live by faith. The just shall live by faith, not grace. Grace is there so you can live by faith. Grace is there to get you through when you're not perfect. But grace is not something to lean back on and say, hey, I'm going to take this all the way to the depot. No, praise the Lord. You got to get on the train with faith, and you got to go into the depot roaring and praise God. Hallelujah. You understand what I'm saying? You got to go after it. You got to get after the things of God. You got to stir up God on the inside. You got to stir up the promises of God. Listen, anybody who sits there and says, I will never have, will sit there and never have. That's all there is to it. But if you work the things of God, if you work the Word, if you get into the Word and you say, I'm going to work this in myself, I'm going to work this in my life, and I'm not going to have anything else, and I'm going to do what the Word says, and I'm going to get after God, and I'm going to listen for that still small voice, and I'm going to do all the things that God asked me to do, you're going to watch and see your life change. Then you're going to see the blessing just pour out upon you. God will start pouring blessing out that you ain't ever imagined before. Why? Because that's how good our God is. But it doesn't work separate from that. And see, this is what people don't understand. They try to stay in the grace realm and they think that that will cover them for everything. It won't cover them from everything. God says that certain kinds of ground will produce certain kinds of fruit. Certain grounds won't produce anything at all. So depending on what ground you choose to be, praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 1:16 says, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Paul is dealing with people saying that stuff in his scriptures. He was dealing with people saying this stuff isn't true. Praise the Lord. These scriptures we're about to read. This is why, I always say this, this is why things like college can be dangerous. I am not suggesting you don't send your kids to college. I'm just suggesting that you be very, very choosy in where you send your kids. Because you can send your kids to one of these liberal dumping grounds, garbage dumping grounds, and allow your kid to be full of that garbage and have them come out not believing in God at all, but start believing all this crap in the world they try to teach you. Listen, that isn't the leading of God right there. God will never lead somebody who's going to go to college. He's never going to lead your child to go to college where they can get their mind changed and start believing all this nonsense that they believe in the world. Yeah. You know what kind of stuff? I was talking to my wife about this morning as I was reading a news article. This is the kind of stuff we almost faced in this country. I'm telling you right now, you let those left-wing nuts run the country and you see what you get. Because Britain does the same thing. And they just had an example there where they decided that, guess what? A mother and father don't have the right to decide the fate of their child anymore. And so what they had, and this is in the news today, and so this was a big thing that happened. So over there, they have this mother and father who have this baby, and this baby is 11 months old and it has some kind of brain disease. And the doctors over there thinks it can't be cured, but the doctors over here thinks it can. Well, they want to send their baby over here, but guess what their left-wing government decided to do? Say, oh, you can't do that because what the doctor says goes. See, that's the exact same thing they were trying to do in this country. All these left-wing politicians, they were trying to say, oh, we're going to take the choice out of the parents because the government knows way better than you do. They want to take the choice away from the parents and put it in the hands of people who are evil, and they say, you know what, let the baby die. President Trump was even trying to interject over there and saying, please just send the kid over. They won't do it. This baby will die because they won't allow it, because the doctors think the baby would be better off dead. Yeah, absolutely. And that's the same kind of garbage that they're trying to pump out there in the left-wing media. All these people who are on the side of killing babies and all this other garbage that, you know, when we have rights that supersede life. Glory to God and all that stuff. Well, see, that's exactly what we were about to have in this country. Thank God somebody was praying, and thank God that God intervened so it didn't happen, because that's exactly what we would be having right now. Where they come in and say, you know what, parents, what you say for your kids don't matter anymore. I know you want to take your kids to church, but guess what? The government doesn't agree with what you're teaching them in those churches, so guess what? You can't teach them there, take them there anymore. Do you know that by and large that this government, this society does not agree with the things that we teach here? How would you like police standing at the back there? You realize how close we are to stuff like that. See, it matters about being led by the Spirit too, because if you're led by the Spirit, you won't vote for fools like that. Praise the Lord. You won't vote for those scumbags that will do stuff like that. Yeah, absolutely. I get fired up because that stuff fires me up. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Some people need to get kicked in the pants sometimes. Well, praise the Lord. But listen, if you voted wrong and you didn't know, well, glory to God. Vote right next time. But get led by the Spirit first. And if you aren't going to be led by the Spirit, then just don't vote. Just do us all a favor and don't vote so we don't have to fight. We'd like to spend more time. I'd like to spend more time in prayer about the things of God than just praying that we can live. Hallelujah, that we're not going to have government take over. Yeah. People want government to give them everything. They believe the lie of the devil, that the government is now your God. And God said, I will supply all your needs according to my riches and glory if you hook up to my plan. But yet people won't hook up to their plan. They hook up to the government's plan. And they spoon feed them everything. And they say, oh, yeah, give it to me, give it to me, give it to me. And as they're not looking, they're getting things taken away from them. Praise the Lord. Oh, you don't think this stuff happens? We're not that far from Nazi Germany. That's exactly what happened over there. First they gave up guns, they gave up their rights, and then they gave up everything else. They couldn't talk. They had to do things a certain way. There was people that were having kids and they were sending them off to the government. They didn't even get to keep their kids. You think that stuff is so, oh, praise the Lord. If you think that that stuff can't happen again, then you're a fool. You're a fool, because why? Because it happened all through history and they're trying to do it now. It's happening in this world today. Why do you think that places like, do you think communism is so great? Go to North Korea and see how great communism is. Socialism leads to communism, by the way. Go to Russia and see how great communism is. Go to China and see how great, because you wouldn't sit here right, you wouldn't be sitting here right now. Do you understand that? There's countries where you can't, like China. China, we have great trading relations with China, right? China, all everything we have is Chinese made. Do you realize that you can't sit in a church like this in China? Praise the Lord, glory to God. Well, that's good. It's free, no charge. But see, this is the other thing. If we, again, associations, if we associate ourselves with this, if we see, this is where people go wrong, is they stop trusting in God and they start believing that people have to make the way for themselves. And that's why they have things that do such evil, they have organizations that do such evil things, and they side with that, not even realizing, because they want health care. Well, guess what? If you believe God, he's the ultimate health care. The ultimate health care. God will heal you from your tips of your toes to the top of your head if you believe him for it. Yeah, I said he will, but you know, it's going to take a little bit more than just laying down and taking some pills. See, it's easier to lay down and take some pills. It takes something to stand up on your faith and say, hey, Lord, I believe you at your word, and I'm going to take this. I'm not going to receive anything less than healing in my body. Praise the Lord. I will not receive anything less than healing in my body. Glory to God. That's what God wants for us. Praise the Lord. Well, glory, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Praise the Lord. There's that drink. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Ooh. Verse 34, awake to righteousness and do not sin, for some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Awake. Praise the Lord. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Evil company corrupt. It doesn't say it might corrupt. It says it does corrupt. It says it does corrupt. Well, praise the Lord. When people gather together and start talking trash about, people want to, and I've seen this in churches all the time. People will get mad about what the pastor says or what the pastor does or something like that, and then they'll form an alliance, and then they'll get an alliance in there of all people that's thinking the same thing. And so they start, you know, and you know this, and you know that, and you know this happened, and you know this happened. Well, praise the Lord. That's exactly what happens. And they just build and build and build and build and build on each other. You think God works in that? How are you going to get the leading of God if you're living in the corruption of man? You're not going to have the leading of God in the corruption of man. If you constantly are hearing the thing over and over and over and over again, the same stuff over and over and over again, eventually it's going to affect you. Yeah, eventually it'll affect you. It'll infect you. Amen? Because that's what happens. Evil company corrupts good habits. If you are spending the bulk of your time around people that are bad, that are not living right, that are doing things wrong, it will rub off on you. Praise the Lord. That's the way that it works. Not because I've chosen it, not because God wants to choose it that way, but that's the way it works. Praise the Lord. Now turn with me to Ephesians 5:1. Praise the Lord. See, I know the thought is, how does this tie into being led? It all comes back to the same thing. If we are led by God, then we are going to make the right choices. But we can't be led by God if we're focused on the wrong things. If we're not focused on God, if we're not hearing from God, we can't be led by God. Being led by God is a wonderful thing. Being led by God will open the doors for great blessing in your life, opening the doors for all the things that you desire. See, that's the thing. We almost have this, Christians almost get this idea. They almost get this fear of God, like that if they really desire it, that God won't bring it to them, or that God's going to keep it from them. But see, that's thinking wrong. That's thinking the same way the world thinks. And so you got to change that stinking thinking and think the way that the Bible teaches us. The Bible teaches us that God will bless us with it. It might not be overnight. We have to get over that idea. I'm just going to tell you right now, your blessing might not come overnight. And that's okay. It's okay that it doesn't come overnight. But you got to be okay with it. You got to wait for it. See, the problem is people don't wait. Then they go out and try to make it happen themselves. They walk out of the leading of God. They walk away from the blessing of God. And they walk into their trouble, and then they blame God. But what does the Bible say here? It says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. Be imitators of God. How do we imitate God? We get led by God. As God shows us things, we do those things. We look at the Word. See, we can't separate the Word and the Spirit. We can't do that. I've been preaching so much about this lately. But we can't separate the Word and the Spirit. The Word works with the Spirit. The Spirit works with the Word. They do not work separately. They work in conjunction with one another. If it is not in the Word, then the Spirit is not working it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The Word is meant to be spiritual. The Word will change us spiritually. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. It didn't say be God. It didn't say be as good as God is. It didn't say anything like it. It says be imitators of God. You look to your Heavenly Father, and you try to do what He does. How do we do that? How do we see the Heavenly Father? Well, if He ain't showing you pictures of Him in heaven, He did give us a whole book full of pictures of Himself. You can use your imagination and look in there and see what God says and start doing it. When He says to love on one another, we can do that, can't we? Right? I'm going to tell you right now, what the Bible says is love is not just doing everything that you want to do. Love prefers other people. So sometimes you have to prefer other people even when it's what you don't want. Sometimes you have to prefer, like husbands and wives. Husbands and wives, you would have a wonderful relationship if you would learn how to prefer one another. That's, again, why my wife and I have such a good relationship. Why? Because we prefer one another. Yes, I really, really want this, but she really, really wants that. Praise the Lord. And that's why we watch cooking shows once in a while. I don't like cooking shows because when I watch cooking shows, all I want to do is eat. And I can't eat because nobody's cooking what they're cooking. Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, you can sit there and watch a show, but unless you're cooking what they're cooking, I don't want to watch a show. Now, you start cooking, you get the same ingredients, start cooking. I'll watch all the cooking shows you want. We'll sit there eating. We'll be fat and happy. Praise the Lord. We'll sit there. Glory, hallelujah. No, but you understand what I'm saying. Like it matters. We have to prefer one another. Husbands and wives, I can't say this enough. You do not. Husbands and wives, if you have secrets, I'm going to say this again. If you have a secret that your spouse doesn't know, you are out of the will of God. You are in error and you're in danger of losing your relationship. You are in danger. You are not being led by the Spirit of God. You are being led by the devil. You cannot have a secret against your spouse. Listen to this. You cannot have a secret against your spouse, unless it's a birthday present. You cannot have a secret against your spouse and be in the will of God. You are operating in the realm of the devil and you will eat the fruit of it. You cannot have a secret against your spouse. Secret bank accounts, secret whatever, secret relationships. People like to rely on somebody else. Oh, no, 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 no. If you can't tell your spouse, then you can't tell nobody. Yes. Praise the Lord. And if you can't tell your spouse, then you better get before the Lord and find out why you can't. Yes. Now, praise the Lord. There are some things when one spouse serves God and one spouse doesn't. There are sometimes things that, maybe you can't share the fullness of it because they won't understand it yet. You know, there's understanding like that. I'm not talking about like little things that like that. But you, like, if you're witnessing to somebody, obviously, you know, when I go out there and witness to people in the street, the first thing I talk about is not the laying on of hands and speaking in tongues. Why? Because most people run away from you as fast as they can. Why? Because it's weird out in the world. I'm not keeping a secret against them. I'm just holding off to give them the full revelation of God until they can handle it. Even Jesus did that. But husbands and wives, if you have secrets against your spouse, you better get it corrected. You better get it. I'm telling you by the Holy Ghost right now, because I sense that there's something in here. I'm telling you right now by the Holy Ghost, death is coming in your family life. Death is coming in your situation. If you don't get that cleaned up right now, you are going to eat the fruit of it. Get it cleaned up fast. Get it cleaned up quick. Don't even hesitate. Run to do it. Get it taken care of. Because I'm telling you right now, it's not God that's going to bring the judgment on you. It's not God that's going to take it away from you. But the devil's working in your life and he's about to win. He's about to win. You can't have secrets. You can't do that. You can't. My wife and I, now listen, my wife does the finances in our relationship. Most of the time I don't know what anything is in the finances. Why? Because we've learned, we've gotten to the place where we can trust each other. We know that. We have a history of trusting one another. And I can ask her at any second. I could ask her right now and she would get online and she'd tell me exactly what's in any account. I don't care. I don't want to know. Why don't I want to know? because I might want to spend it. And if she's saving it, she's saving it for a good reason. But see, this is an agreement that we have, but there's nothing that stops us from sharing. If you're keeping something from the one you're supposed to be one with, you aren't one with them. You're operating separate and out of the will of God. Praise the Lord. Well, glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord for the Holy Ghost. See, that's exactly what will happen. The Lord will download stuff. You'll clean it up. Now listen, what if you just came here and you've been living a separate life from your spouse and you got a lot of stuff? Well, maybe you got to ease into it a little bit. You know what I'm saying? But I happen to believe that whoever I was speaking to, maybe it was many people, I don't know, several people, but whoever I was speaking to, I happen to believe that they know exactly what I'm talking about. I don't know who that is, by the way. I don't know. I don't get. The Lord doesn't necessarily tell me, you know, who's doing something bad, but He will reveal things to you, amen, that have to be said. Praise the Lord. See, that's being led by the Holy Ghost, and it's good. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And you'll say, well, Pastor Jeff, how do we know if you're even right then? Oh, just see who doesn't show up next week. No, I'm just kidding. It's a joke. Praise the Lord. That's a joke. Somebody's probably going to end up be on vacation. It'll be everybody be over in the corner and talk. Hey, wait a minute. Did you see him? So, yeah. What's that? Yeah. Somebody. Yeah. Somebody will be like, oh, good. We cleaned up the church real good. Ain't nobody here no more. Praise the Lord. We don't want that either. Don't skip down to verse 8. We're in verse 1. Go down to verse 8. Praise the Lord. For you were once darkness, but now you are in the light. You are light in the Lord. Notice this. I love this. It says, you were once darkness. You were once darkness. Now, and I almost slipped up there when I was reading it and say in darkness. But you were once darkness. You were once. That was what you were. You embodied darkness. But now you are light in the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Walk as children of the light. This is how we be imitators of God. Walk as children of the light. Verse 9, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Verse 10, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. It is so important that we find out what is acceptable to God. That we spend time before Him, that we get led by Him. And His leading, sometimes His leading will be, it's that still small voice. It'll be a witness in our spirit. You know, the Bible says you'll be led out by peace. Peace is on the inside of you. It's in your spirit. You will step out and you'll be like, I don't know specifically in my head what to do, but it just seems right to me that I do this. And see, people who are after God, they can be led that way. In fact, the Bible says you should be led that way. So if you're led by God, if you step out, if you're before God and you're trying to live right, I'm not saying that you're perfect, but you're just attempting to live right. You know, you're coming to church and you're praying and you're reading the word and you're trying to do it and apply it to your life. And when that leading comes, that leading is there to help you. That leading will say to you, I've been in the store before. And little things will help you every area of your life. I've been in little things where I've been in the store and we're going to buy lights. We had to buy the lights. I was going to buy these lights in the spirit and I just had to check about it. It was like these lights, I had to buy them. They're right there. I had the money for them and everything. Well, later on, I went to a different store. The same lights were like, save me $100 or something like that. See, it's the leading of God. See, God will lead you into things that He will lead you into blessing. He will lead you into having nice things that you won't even be able to praise the Lord. You won't even know how you got it. Maybe He'll just lead somebody to give you something. Praise the Lord. You were just believing for it, and all of a sudden, or you just want it. All of a sudden, God appeared on your. That's the way to tell you the truth, y'all, whoever connected with the brush hog thing, praise the Lord, you don't realize how led by God you were. I believed in my heart. We had set aside some money to go get one, a cheap one, a much cheaper one, not as nice as that one was. Praise the Lord. But you know, of course, in my heart, I always desire the best. Is there anyone who doesn't? Is there anyone who's okay? Like everybody who wants something that falls apart in a year? Is there anybody who goes car shopping and say, well, I can afford a BMW, but I'm purposely going to go to the Yugo store. They don't even make those anymore. But I'm going to go to the Yugo store and find a broken, falling apart Yugo. And that's the one I'm going to buy because that'll bless me the most. Hey, don't be a fool. There ain't nobody that's blessed by that. Everybody's blessed by something nicer. If somebody came up to you and gave you a little ring, you'd be blessed. But if somebody came up and gave you, women came up and gave you a big fat ring with a big fat rock on it, you probably, yeah, amen. See, there ain't no woman in here that's like, meh, you know. Yeah. You say that when your husband first, your fiance first gives you the little ring. You say, I love it. It's so nice. Thank you so much. It blesses me so much. But you know that if you came in with 10 times the rock, yeah, how do I know? Because later on, when I gave her 10 times, she was excited. You know what she was so excited about at first? She wasn't focused on the ring. She was focused on she getting me. And so that's what excited her, praise the Lord. I told this story last night. I pulled their ring out. We were in Olives, actually. It was uptown here. And she went to the bathroom, and I came up. She was probably to freshen up or something. And I went to pull the ring out, and I even told the people that I'm about to propose to her, you know. And she comes out, and I pull that ring out, and man, I didn't even get the words out of my mouth. She came across that table like a puma on a stinking rabbit, man. She came across that table. Whoop! And grabbed that out of my hand. I had to go get sutured up. I had claw marks all over my. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But she was excited to get that ring. But I'll tell you what. A few years later, when I was believing the Lord to be able to buy her a nice ring. And I did, and he moved the ability into me. All of a sudden, like right before Christmas time, he moved, I think it was a job, right? He moved a job that was paying that we weren't counting on, and I had to work secretly. See, this was okay with secrets are okay. You know, he moved this job, and I even had to lie a little bit. You know what I mean? I didn't completely lie. I was just like, but you know what I mean? I was telling that it's okay if you lie when you're buying a present. You know what I mean? See, some people are just, sometimes you just got to, you know. The other day, I had a friend who was having a birthday, and I lied completely to him because it was a surprise party. And I even told him I was so excited about how much I lied to him about it. But that's the only time, amen? But you know, when the Lord, he moved a job because I was believing him. And you do right by the Lord, and he'll do right by you. And he moved a job in, an extra job that I wasn't counting on. And I was able to put a big down payment on that ring. And praise the Lord, I'll tell you what, she was real excited when she got that thing. Amen. You see, God doesn't mind us having nice things. And that's what we have to understand. Now, maybe your big thing isn't a big, nice ring. Well, your thing is going to be something. Maybe it's a nice vehicle. Maybe it's bigger tires on your vehicle. Maybe it's a, you know, praise the Lord. I don't know. Maybe it's a Truck Norris. We got some of them around here, too, somewhere. Praise the Lord. Whatever. But, you know, there will be things that will be on your heart. Glory to God. You know what I mean? And God will lead you into those things. God wants you blessed. He wants you fully blessed. And see, that's the other thing. But Christians get sad when they don't get something that they wanted. And sometimes the things that you want weren't going to bless you. Yeah. Sometimes the things you want. Oh, glory to God. I remember this. I'm going to be bold. I'm going to say this. And I don't normally talk about this stuff, but I just sense the Lord wants me to go this way. You know, I was married once before. You know, and I was very, very, very into getting that marriage. I wanted that marriage really bad. And, you know, and I'm not going to blame anybody about it, but I'm just going to tell you that marriage wasn't a blessing. That marriage was very wrong. It wasn't, for one thing, I didn't listen to the law of being unequally yoked. And that's exactly what it was. I was being unequally yoked together with an unbeliever. And in that marriage, it was good for about the first 2 weeks. Or at least it seemed so, and then it fell apart and fell apart badly. And in fact, so much so that it led me down the road of even, I backslid and all that stuff and walked away from the Lord. Lord, you don't want a marriage that ain't right. You want the marriage that God has for you, but not the one that you... You see, that's the one I thought I wanted, but I'll tell you what, when I was sitting there wanting that, I couldn't even see this. I had no idea that God had this waiting for me, and I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that he still did. I'm still thankful because there's not a day I look back on this marriage and think, man, you know, there's not one day that I've ever been where I haven't wanted this marriage. This marriage has been a blessing to me every day since we've done it, right? Praise the Lord. And it's just getting better and better. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I want to go here. Turn with me real quick to John 16:13. We're getting close to fixing the close here. Praise the Lord. See, sometimes the things that you want aren't of God, but you got to sit before God. If you'll hear from God, he'll tell you things that aren't good for you. He'll show you things that aren't right for you. He'll show you things that, and I'm not even saying that the person that I was married to is a bad person. I'm not even saying that. I'm just saying that there was differences that we wouldn't ever come to agreement on. And how can two walk together unless they're agreed? See, we weren't ever going to be in agreement on certain things, and so we couldn't. It's like I said, it's nothing bad about them at all. Praise the Lord. Yeah, I won't talk bad about them. Why? Because even though all the bad stuff that happened, none of that matters now. The only thing that matters is God delivered me. Praise the Lord. I said, God deliver me. Amen. Praise the Lord. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. This is the Spirit of God, the leading of God is by the Spirit of God, and the Spirit is called the Spirit of truth. He will guide you into all truth. And what's that truth? Truth is this. This is what the word says about truth. The truth respecting God and the execution of his purposes through Christ, and respecting the duties of man, opposing alike to the superstitions of the Gentiles and the inventions of the Jews, and the corrupt opinions and precepts of false teachers, even among Christians. Listen to that. The superstitions opposing, the truth opposes superstitions of the Gentiles, the inventions of the Jews. The Gentiles, in case you don't know, are pretty much anybody who doesn't serve God, yeah. Right? The inventions of the Jews, things that they came up with that weren't of God, and the corrupt opinions and precepts of false teachers, even among Christians. Do not be equally yoked together with unbelievers. This is exactly what I was talking about. When I said this proves exactly what I was talking about, where that isn't just unbelievers in the faith, but just unbelievers in what you believe. Amen? False teachers, even among Christians. There are Christians among us that are false teachers. Yeah. There are Christians, there are pastors out there, there are people out there that stand as pastors that aren't actually, shouldn't be there because they're not pastors at all. Yeah, the office of a pastor is a special thing, not anybody can walk into it. Amen? You don't get to choose that just because you want that. The word is clear on that because he chooses us. Amen? But, you know, there's people out there that will teach the wrong thing. God is not trying to take things away from us. He is trying to get the truth into us. And the truth comes by his leading. He will lead us and guide us into all truth. Isn't that what the Bible said? He will guide you into all truth. That scripture continues on to say, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. This is how we know that the Spirit doesn't work opposite of the Word. Because he's not speaking just what he wants to speak. He's speaking what he hears. And what he's hearing is the same one who wrote the word. The same one that says, I do not change. Yeah. It will help you sort out your thoughts. If you are consumed with the world, with friends, with stuff, then you will have what that consumption brings. If you are consumed with everything around you, then you're going to have what that stuff means. But if you're consumed with God, then you're going to have what that brings. Amen? Being led is about walking in the right direction. It is not about just walking in a direction, just walking it out. We are not just on this earth just walking it out. We are to walk in the right direction. God has given us a right direction. He has given us a way to be led into the right direction. And as we walk in that path, as we follow that direction, then we will have everything that direction brings, which is all his promises. Follow his direction. His direction, his path that he has laid before us, that Jeremiah 29:11 that he has laid before us, that he has planned out for us. Everything that he has promises in the word is connected to that path and that path alone. It is not some other path. You will not find it in some other direction. You will not find it serving other gods. You will never be fully blessed as long as you are not on the path that God has put you on, that God has planned for you. You need to get in there. You need to find out from God what his plan is, what his direction is. Get in it and follow it, praise the Lord. You got to get in and follow it. Follow God. See what he has for you. I'm going to close with this scripture. Galatians 5:25 in the Amplified. It says, if we live by the Holy Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. If by the Holy Spirit we have our life in God, let us go forward walking in line, our conduct controlled by the Spirit. Let's do what the Spirit leads us to do, and we will find all the things that we need to find. We will find the happiness that we are seeking. We will find the joy that we are seeking. We will find the peace that we are seeking. We will find the money that we are seeking. We will find the ability that we are seeking. We will find the healing that we are seeking. We will find all that he has for us as we walk that plan out, as we walk that path, as we get after God, and we say, I'm not looking back. I'm not going back, and I'm going to tell you right now, if you have not been on that plan, plan. You can get back on that plan. It is not something that you have to wait for. God is not holding it against you. You just decide today. You say, I'm going forward with God. I am not returning to the vomit anymore. I am not having what the world has anymore. I am having only what God has. I am only going to get stirred up with the things of God. I am going on with Him, and I am going to be full of Him. Praise the Lord. You got to start speaking to yourself, and you watch God come into your life and change it. You watch how He starts leading you. You watch how He starts filling you. It does not matter what yesterday brought. It does not matter who you've been for the last 50 years. It only matters who you are for going forward from today on. Hallelujah. I don't care where you were. Where you're going is all that matters. Glory to God. That's all He cares about. That's all we care about. And we're going to go on to God. We're going to go on to everything He has for us. Amen. Praise the Lord.